For any electrical job, large or small, you can call Fury Electric at 501-327-7744 or go online to furyelectric.com. For any topic you want to discuss, large or small, get into the zone. Coming to you live from the Fury Electric Studio on the Buzz Radio Network.
The
ones who died
without a name. The big week this week, obviously, second game in the SEC to play Florida at their home turf. And obviously, I've recruited a lot of state to Florida, so it's a big big weekend for us in our recruiting wars and all that goes on there. And I think our kids are very, very excited to go to the Swamp. And obviously, we haven't beat them in SEC play, so an opportunity to do something that's never been done here is exciting for our guys. And I think they got some mojo out of last week. Obviously, we didn't get a win, but I think the guys felt they competed and played with a very, very good football team. So excited about that opportunity.
Oh, what could have been a perfect Saturday last weekend. Lane Kiffin got fired, so we were halfway home, and then Arkansas unfortunately could not close it out against Texas A&M. Mm. Dang the luck.
Gosh darn it.
Let's go to the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack and talk to Rodney Harrison. Hello? Oh, wait, it's Jim Harris.
Are you sure?
It's a Roll Reversal Tuesday. Welcome back in the zone. Jim, I apologize.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I played at Western Illinois, and it was good to make it.
I got confused on the whole Eastern Central.
No, That's fine. He's good. It was good to hear him.
Well, he must not have heard that.
Hear me.
He must not have heard, Jim, that you're like death and taxes, and you're a lock for 11 o'clock on Tuesday.
Well, usually.
Yes.
Usually. Yes. Yeah, that was a shame that we didn't get the Kiffin Hog Win Parlay.
Yeah.
Going there, a teaser. I guess that would be a teaser in the bank, I think.
Yes, that would be. There was a good connection to Arkansas there. We've talked about it a handful of times, and we actually interviewed this gentleman last year. But Michael Norvell, the former great receiver at UCA, who's still way up in the record books in most of the receiving categories, is the offensive coordinator at Arizona State. So he helped lead to Lane Kiffin's demise last weekend.
Yeah. It was. I actually got to watch that game because it was about the last thing on.
Yeah.
As far as football the other night, and God, it's pretty amazing. And the thing about the Kiffin firing that's kind of amazing to me. I'm not sure. He's definitely got his quirks, and we saw him come out in full form when they went 7-6 last year, and he was, you know, booting a good writer, in fact, from covering the team. And he did all kinds of weird things under pressure. He's only playing with, like, just over 50 scholarship players. I mean, that's 13 less than UCA would suit up. It's not an easy thing that Southern Cal's going through right now. It's hard to find, you know, depth to fill all, you know, to get a solid 44 football players on the field. And it really shows to me on their defense, and he hadn't been able to develop a good quarterback since the last guy left. Was his name Barkley?
Yes, Matt Barkley.
You know, it's kind of a perfect storm for him. Kind of like what Gene Chizik for Auburn said yesterday, that here's a guy who won the national championship in 2010 and inspired after 2012. And it's kind of like the next 2 years after such a perfect storm of a great season, everything implodes for him. It's getting weird in college football, and it's getting weird for these guys to make everybody happy and hold their jobs, which, of course, are jobs that pay about, you know, $3 or $4 million a year.
Right. Well, you know, and again, speaking of coaches, first of all, I would say that Coach Chizik, I thought, was outstanding on with us yesterday. I thought he was great in front of the Little Rock Touchdown Club. But the other high-profile job that appears that it may come open is Texas. And like he, you know, like Chizik said yesterday, hey, look, if he goes out and he beats Oklahoma and he does a few things the right way, you know, people will be off him. It's amazing how fluctuating a situation can be. But with the Lost Dodd stepping down, Jim, does that lead you to believe that there is now a position that is clear-cut for Mack Brown to slide into that AD job?
It would be really unusual for anybody, maybe except for Mack Brown as a head coach, to slide into an AD job. I think he would be the kind of guy that Texas and its fan base kind of love as a person, and would be an excellent fundraiser and a guy who could lead those programs probably a lot better than DeLoss Dodds has the last 4 years. If you look at basketball, I mean, Texas's basketball's had kind of that perfect storm too, but Rick Barnes is a lot better coach than what their record's been on the court. Their baseball should be as good as anybody in the country year in, year out. They were terrible last year. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that most ADs wouldn't last the way this has gone anyway, so I'm kind of not surprised that a 79-year-old man has reached the end as far as to all
sure.
And it's still not until next summer anyway. But, yeah, this would be good for Mack Brown. I think he's probably the one guy at age, 63, isn't that what he is, to move in and be Texas's AD. Other than him, you would want a guy who's an X and O, bean counter.
Yeah.
Not an X and O, but a bean counter guy, you know, a numbers guy, money guy,
mm-hmm.
who can keep it all together, like Arkansas's lucky to have.
Sure, no doubt. Well, and
Jeff Long.
The thing I will say about Mack Brown is you saw two coaches get shots fired at them by former greats. It happened at Nebraska, and then Bo Pelini fired right back at Tommy Frazier. Now it happened with Earl Campbell and the response by Mack Brown. This was not surprising in any way to me, and I think most people who have ever been around Mack Brown. The guy is such a great gentleman. I was not surprised that he handled it. I mean, you could not have handled it better if you were running for governor of Texas. The guy was beautiful about it. Here's the clip from yesterday after Earl Campbell basically said, yeah, I think we need to change coaches. Go. Here's Mack Brown.
Earl's been great for this university, and he will always be welcome here. I mean, he's one of, if not our best player ever. I was disappointed in the comments, but he's entitled to say what he thinks. And one of our guys talked to him last night, and I think some of the stuff gets taken out of context, and it grows fast nowadays, so it moves across the country. But Earl's a good man.
See, that's the way you come back and
say,
that's how you say, screw you. You say, he's a good man. He might be the best player ever.
Always welcome back.
He's entitled to his opinions, and he was just a great guy. That's the way to get him back, Mack Brown, when a guy tries to get you canned. Way to go. I mean, that dude is too good to be true. What a sweetheart. I mean, that guy is a nice dude, man.
Well, he reminds me so much of, in his mannerisms, George W. Bush. You know, he sounds like him some. I mean, he really kind of takes the high road on all this stuff, which is great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He's definitely not Bo Pelini.
Well, no, and it's the opposite. Jim, and there's so much hatred in this world today. Especially with social media. It is amazing. There are two uses for Twitter. One is to impart information and interesting things and tidbits to other people, and one is to tell people how much you hate them and hope they die. There's really only two uses for it. That's all I ever see anymore. It is amazing how often it's used for the latter. It makes me very sad. But in today's society, with so much of that going on, it's great to see guys like Mack Brown who can sort of deflect it and feel good enough about who they are and what they're doing to be able to move on. So, let's move on ourselves.
Let's move on.
To the Arkansas game. The A&M game, your takeaways, and how ready is this Arkansas team, with Brandon Allen at quarterback, to take on and maybe beat a team like Florida in the Swamp this week?
Well, I think they know, and I think they went into last week with probably, you know, some changes in their game plan as far as how much they would throw the ball, how many passes were probably called, either before they were checked out of, that they're going to have to throw the ball in the Swamp to win the game. I don't think they're going to be able to line up and block Florida and run the football. Although I'm really happy that if people read my column on Friday, which I said this is the point in the season where they really need their best players on the field. And I didn't mean Brandon Allen. He was hurt. I meant some guys like Denver Kirkland and Dan Skipper. If that's their future, they needed those guys on the field. And I didn't have any inside information, but it's just fun when I see something and they see it. It's fun to me professionally that they saw it too, and those guys started at guard. I guess I was surprised they dumped that they how they went about it, but they just decided to put those two guys at guard. And I think as the season goes on, I think the line play is going to get better and better. You'll probably see a split at right tackle with Bray Cook and Grady Allison, and Hurd is a solid veteran on the left tackle spot. So I think the line's going to get better, but I don't think you're necessarily going to see it this week because Florida is going to be so athletic up front, so good, and it's going to be hard to block them to run. So I just think they're going to have to open it up with, probably a little healthier Brandon Allen. He got to air it out. He got to break all that possible scar tissue and, let it fly. And I think he'll have a better game this week. I really do. I think if they can just, have the nice blend, the nice mix that we saw in the second and third quarters against A&M.
And I thought he played well. I was telling Chris earlier, Jim, that I was surprised that he was under 50% from the game. He seemed more efficient than that as I was watching the flow of the game, and I didn't have the numbers in front of me. By the way, jockstrap to the data ability. It's an AT&T sponsorship there at Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium. Yeah, you can't. Your phone doesn't work. You can't get a call out. You can't get a tweet out. You
no
can't
text,
get a text out.
Nothing.
It blows. So I don't know how many towers you got to put around Razorback Stadium to make it work, but come on, man.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they had
done it, but it doesn't seem to show it.
It doesn't.
It doesn't work?
I went in the men's room, which is surrounded by concrete blocks, and I was able to get my tweet out finally, and I was able to send a text to a buddy of mine that I was looking for. But inside the stadium,
you can't get a hold
zero
of anyone.
Chance. It's
no.
Terrible. Terrible. I don't get it, Jim. I'm not a technology wizard. I'm an idiot.
It takes away from the fan experience, too, because you can't follow along on Twitter and see the stats
That's
and whatnot.
That's it.
Yeah.
And, Jim, I had gold, Jim, gold. I had beautiful stuff to send out, and I could not get it out. You know what? That's the kind of stuff that's keeping people at home. Because you know what? All those beautiful things you want to see on Twitter, all the hilarious little quips, you can deliver them at will.
They're humorous.
From the easy chair in your living room.
You're not getting to read my stuff when I tweet. When
that's
you're
it.
At the stadium.
I love watching your tweets during games.
I want people to be able to read my live blog when you're there. I mean, you're seeing what I'm seeing, but
the next time I go, Jim, I'm gonna pay somebody to run up and back to the press box and bring me notes from you so I can catch what you're saying on Twitter.
Okay.
Or we'll get us some sort of homing pigeon that can deliver from the press box to
might
me.
Be more efficient.
Yeah. Here's something or a homing bat. I think we're getting some bats up there. I know they have them at A&M.
It's the ghost of Ahmad Carroll.
Yeah, homing bat.
Ravens. Just like Game of Thrones.
Well, here's what I did tweet out. What I did notice that really impressed me about the Razorbacks is that game could have gone south really fast after DeShazor Everett's interception of Allen and a run back for a touchdown early in the third quarter. And games like that have gone south on the Razorbacks before. And that stadium, Justin, got as quiet as 72,000 people can get. It's amazing at Arkansas how quiet that stadium can get when one bad play happens. But I'll tell you, against that backdrop, Arkansas went 75 yards or so in four plays and did a great job of staying in that ball game.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you had the Martrell Spate hit on the next kickoff, which all of a sudden then the crowd got back into it. And, and I was really even up to when Arkansas had that last long drive that ended with about 6 minutes to play, you still felt like they were in the game. I mean, yeah, A&M just had the upper hand, but you still felt like they were in the game. And I think everybody left that stadium feeling upbeat about it instead of feeling down that Arkansas had failed like they did the week before.
Yeah, and the thing is, when I walked out of the walked away from the Rutgers game, I didn't go to the game, but I was watching it. When that game's over, I felt pretty good. I mean, there were so many good things that came out of that game. Obviously A.J. Derby is not Brandon Allen, and he's not probably the other two quarterbacks once they get trained up a little bit. But you know, I walked away feeling pretty good. Walk away from this game feeling pretty good. There is improvement happening. This coaching staff, I think, is doing a great job. And we talk a lot about the offensive play calling. But, again, like you said, making the moves you got to make to win right now. You know, moving guys in that you feel like have the, give you the best chance to win. The thing I talked about all week was getting the ball to the tight ends. And Hunter Henry is a matchup nightmare for most defensive backs. And they slid him out wide a couple of times. They got him on a safety a couple of times. A linebacker, the guy ends up with over 100 yards receiving. They targeted Sprinkle, too, and couldn't make the connection. But I do love the fact that they've got playmakers at tight end, and they're trying to utilize those guys as well as the running backs that they've got that, you know, clearly are among the best in the SEC.
I think I saw a quote the other day, and I'm not sure where I did. Maybe I just dreamed this, but that Bielema was saying something to the tune of he could see them at one point having seven scholarship tight ends on the roster. Have you see, did you see? I didn't hear him say that. Did you see that? I mean, it was like, we're going to use the tight ends. We're going to use them like split ends. We're going to use them like this, that, and the other. I mean, you know, their starting lineup even said tight end, you know, for the three guys starting.
He
you
did.
Know, most people have wide receiver. Arkansas had three tight ends in the offense starting out. And, it's certainly different. It certainly works when you got a guy like Hunter Henry who can kind of be that hybrid tight end, big split end kind of guy. He gives Arkansas a lot of what you saw A&M have with Mike Evans. I thought Evans was probably the difference in the game.
Yeah,
I thought if Evans wasn't out on the field at all for A&M, you know, then it comes down to Johnny Football having to make a lot of plays with, you know, some lesser talent at receiver to go to, and then it would have been a little different. Also, man, they had a lot of good running backs too, just like Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Well, then the kid that killed him was Williams.
Back a thunder and lightning kind of attack. You know, they hit him with Trey Carson, the bigger back, a couple of times with that read option thing that you know that Johnny Football does, and then come right back two plays later with Trey Williams being the sort of that dart through the line, and it just
and then you have Molina too, yeah.
Hard to defend, and it's really hard to defend. And I'm not a guy who gripes about the officiating at all. But I had a couple people tweet me going, "Are you seeing all this holding they're not calling?" And I said, "Well, no, not from my view, but on TV, I can tell you one thing: on that 31-yard run that Trey Williams had on one of those scoring drives that broke, you know, kept him ahead. Otha Peters gets twisted around. You know, he gets thrown around like a top." By number 74 for A&M, who's clearly holding him right in front of the umpire, and it goes unflagged. I mean, it was, there were a few plays like that. But Arkansas got a lot fewer penalties called than I think they may have won.
Penalty.
Yeah, so, I mean, but I guess if they wanted to throw a flag a few more times for holding, they probably could. And when folks see Alabama play, and Cyrus Kwanjo, he can get flagged at least every other play for a hold.
Yeah.
Just my observation.
Yeah. Have you lost faith in this run defense, Jim, or do you think that A&M just might be that good? And that's really how they broke Arkansas' spirit. We talked about this yesterday a little bit. That, what was it, 7-play drive and a 9-play drive, all runs that led to touchdowns, one in the third, the 9-play drive, and the 7-play drive in the fourth. And it really kind of broke the spirit. But do you think that has more to do with the fact they've got a few good backs and a good offensive line that's performing better than a lot of people expected? Or does Arkansas have some question marks? You know, certainly we know they're maybe not great tacklers on the back end, but is there an issue? Because we were talking about how good their run defense was last week.
It's kind of like basketball. It's saying, have you lost faith in the inside defense because a team was out there bombing three-pointers in and then all of a sudden jamming it inside? It's the same deal. A&M was such a factor or such a problem to them on the perimeter or out, you know, throwing it down the field to its receivers that Arkansas was playing basically six men in the box, and it was just hard to really defend that running game with six in the box. And Arkansas was kind of reluctant to to adjust to that. They kind of had a nine-play drive and a six-play drive all against four down linemen, two linebackers, and then they're playing that nickel coverage, and it was just they didn't bring another big linebacker out there. I'm not sure they had a big linebacker to put out there. Austin Jones was hurt, and I'm not sure he would have brought the run stoppage they needed either. I have a problem with them as run stoppers at linebacker, I guess is what I'm really saying.
Yeah.
I think that showed up against A&M, but against some other teams it might not. I think that's just one of the strengths A&M had.
Tim, we have to run, unfortunately. You like Arkansas's chances this week or no?
Well, I like their chances to compete. I don't know if they're going to get out of there with the win. I was down there in 09. I saw what happens on the road at an SEC traditional team like Florida where you're treated, even though you're a SEC team, you're treated like you're Tulsa or a non-conference team. And that's how that game was called. There were a lot of plays in that game, not just the couple that are talked about today. There's just a lot of plays, hits out of bounds and stuff that bothered me about how that game was officiated. That's how I'm a little fearful to think that Arkansas can go on the road and, succeed without a whole lot of luck in places like Gainesville and Tuscaloosa and that. And so, no, I don't think they're necessarily going to win, but I think they can compete. And if they can get ahead of these guys and force them to throw, they will win the game.
Oh, yes. I like that idea. That would be good. Jim, thanks. Follow Jim's work on SportingLifeArkansas.com.